What's up, everybody? Welcome to NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. I am your host, Tim Mason. Joining me, as always, is Patrick Murphy.
Deja vu, Tim. Didn't we just do this? Wait, anyway.
Like it.
Hey, how's it going, Tim?
It's going pretty well. I've got some stuff to talk about with you, Patrick, in a hot second. But before, let's introduce Ricky D. Welcome back.
What's up, Tim? What's up, Internet? What's up, cats and dogs and hedgehogs and everybody else? I'm excited. I got a lot of things to say today, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, spoilers, hedgehogs, look out.
And cats and dogs, Sims, yo.
Yeah, so lots of fun stuff in this episode, but also somebody's going to be a grumpy pants, I'm predicting, but maybe rightfully so. Who it's going to be this time, I'm not telling. As always, before I introduce our other guests, we are going to open up the show with a review of the show. If you guys go to iTunes right now and leave us a rating and a review, your review might be read live on the air, or I guess on the podcast, which is heavily edited, so not really live, but that's another discussion for another time. But anyway, the review for this week is from Marty Stuff, or maybe Marty's Tough. I don't know.
I think it's like Marty's got the right stuff.
I think he does too, because he gave us 5 stars and he says, next best thing to playing Nintendo games, which is just absolutely amazing. Thank you for those kind words immediately, Marty. But what he goes on to say is, one of my favorite things in the world is to play Nintendo games. Sadly, I can't constantly engage in that wondrous pastime, but the next best thing is the smart and pointed NExpress Nintendo podcast. The hosts are informative, articulate, smart, and funny, but more than anything else, they are fellow diehard fans. I feel like I'm hanging out at the bar with a bunch of other Nintendo nerds who care just a little too much about all the ins and outs of the Big N, and I feel right at home. That's absolutely true. We do care way too much on this show, but we are not going to stop. And if you would like your kind words read on the air, or maybe even your negative words, go on to iTunes, Stitcher, leave us a review and a rating, and they might be read online. So
if I could just jump in for a second. So listeners, please leave us a rating and or review. We only started asking for reviews after recording 100 episodes. It's a lot of work. It means a lot to us. And we're aiming for like 50 reviews. It's like a magical number. So we're really trying to get 50 reviews before the end of the year. And Tim, I just thought of a really good idea that we can do in the next few weeks. We should do a drinking game in which like we actually drink while podcasting, but people can actually drink while listening to us. Of course, unless you're underage, please don't drink. But yeah,
or if you're driving, or if you're driving,
totally. But we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this. We're gonna come up with a drinking game in the next few weeks.
Okay. I like it.
All right. Who's that in the background?
Look out for that. Well, returning recurring guest Mike Warby is back. That's right, the features editor from GoombaStomp.com. How's it going, Mike?
Oh, pretty good. I was just wondering how much alcohol must be consumed if Tim brings up Zelda or if Ricky says something's his favorite game ever.
Hold on a second. Now, for listeners who might not know, every time Mike is on the show, a big heated debate breaks out. So be prepared. I feel like we're going to have a heated debate once again today.
We are setting ourselves up for it because Mike wrote an awesome article talking about why the Nintendo Switch should have achievements, and completely contrary to that, our writer over at GoombaStomp.com, George Cheese, wrote a counter argument, and so of course, we also brought him onto the show. Say hi, George.
Hello. How are you doing? All right?
We're doing awesome. I think everyone's excited to be here, but George, you'd better brace yourself, because we have 5 questions that are going to come spouting out of Ricky's mouth crazy fast, faster than everyone's favorite blue hedgehog.
All right.
Are you ready to answer these hopefully gaming-related questions?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, George, first-time guest on the show. You get 5 questions so our audience and even we can get to know you better. So the first obvious question is, what is your favorite video game console of all time?
Ooh, favorite console of all time. That's a really hard question. I think because it was my first big console, I've got to say PS2.
Nice.
Mm. PS2 a rocks. Bold choice on the Nintendo Express podcast, George.
Yeah, so
I can't work with this, guys.
Apologies. It's only Nintendo
fanboys. Totally kidding. It was only a console for like 500,000 years.
Yeah. I think my second favorite would probably be the Game Boy Advance, though, if that's any consolation.
That's a cool choice. Okay. I like that.
Oh, okay. So question number two. There's a lot of indie games that are getting ported to Switch. What indie game would you like to see ported to Switch that is not on a Nintendo console?
Indie game. It might be coming to Switch, and it's fresh in my memory, but I've just watched the trailer for the game Ruiner by Devolver Digital, and that game looks really great, and I think it would be a really good fit for the Switch. But it's not out yet, but it hasn't been announced for the Switch either, so hopefully that will come.
All right. We like to talk about movies on our Nintendo podcast, and I want to know, what video game would you like to see adapted to the big screen?
Oh, that's tough. I think a good fit would be, this isn't a Nintendo game, but I think Horizon Zero Dawn would make a good transition.
Okay.
In terms of Nintendo, I think Metroids would be a good fit.
Yeah, for sure. What is your drink of choice when listening to a podcast and or playing a video game?
Drink of choice? Well, if non-alcoholic, I'd probably say just Coca-Cola. But if we're talking drink, I'd probably say whiskey.
Oh, yes. Nice.
That's nice. The correct answer.
Yeah, it is.
I think everyone answers whiskey. Very, very cool.
Except for Mike Worby, who prefers beer and only beer.
I see.
But that's a debate for another day.
I can't argue with beer either, though. No, I'm definitely not going to say anything bad about that.
Okay, and last question. So one of the great things about the Nintendo Switch, or most consoles, is when you can customize your console to make it look the way you want to look. For example, Microsoft, you can order your own personal controller. Now, there's been a lot of custom skins released for Nintendo Switch, specifically for the Joy-Cons. So if you can design your own Switch, what sort of design would you want?
What's the name of Samus's ship in Super Metroid?
That's an excellent question. Does it have a name?
I think it does.
I can't think of it for the life of me, though.
No, well, I've played that game a million times. It's definitely not referenced in the game, and I forgot. I haven't had the manual for 20 years, so.
Okay, well, anyway, that would be my choice, I think, to make it look like the ship.
That would look incredible.
All right, so we're going to go with a Metroid theme like Nintendo Switch. Sounds good. Yeah. All right, well, I think you've almost passed the five questions. You sort of like derailed when you mentioned PS2, but it's okay. We'll forgive you.
I mean, if he mentioned PS4, our sponsor, Sony, would be pleased, but it's okay.
Well, PS4's a great console.
Okay, quick Google search. I just wanted to let you guys know it doesn't really have a name, but it is commonly known as the gunship. It's a placeholder name. They were like, we'll come up with a cool name later, guys, and then they just didn't.
Does it have a gun? I don't
know. It does, at least in later games. Guns.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're constantly without the ship or most of your armor, so yeah. Who knows? Anyway, so thanks for letting us get to know you, George. Why don't we go ahead and dive deep into the show with some of the news, and I think we should just go ahead and start. Why don't we start small and then get to what we're all kind of like chomping at the bit to get to. So first off, Arms has got a new character. Who here has Arms?
Oh, God, me. And I love this game. Love this game. I can't stop playing this game. So I'm super stoked. New character. Love the new character. I don't know if you've guys seen a new character, but it's weird.
Clown.
Like, yes. So the character's name is Lollipop. And it's like a clown, but the interesting thing about it, and I can't pinpoint exactly which character I'm thinking of, but Patrick, maybe you can help me out. But it resembles
I was about to say Pennywise.
No, I was going to say Pennywise.
Did they coincide this with the release of the movie? Like, is this a tie-in?
Interesting you say that, because like when you actually, like if you watch the trailer and you listen to the music, it reminds me of a clown from a famous black and white silent film. And I'm trying to think
yes,
of like...
Yes, it's from Lestrada, dude.
Lestrada, oh my
yes.
God, thank
I thought
you.
The same thing, Rick, thank the same you. Thing.
Okay, so this is like one of the best Italian films ever made by Federico Fellini. And yeah. Yes, it totally reminds me of the clown from Lestrada. So, and even with the music and everything, totally. Yes, I knew you would get it, Patrick. Thank you so much. So, Tim, I'm very, very excited about this character. Super stoked. And I don't know, like, I know you guys aren't playing Arms. You guys are missing out. I think it's a great game. I honestly think it's better than Splatoon. I think it's one of the best fresh new IPs that Nintendo's made in quite some time.
Well, yeah, Splatoon 2 is a sequel, buddy. So, of course, it's a fresher idea, but I don't know if it's more fun than Splatoon. I love Splatoon, and we've actually got two new maps, one for Salmon Run, which I believe is already out, and another one for Turf War and everything else, coming out this weekend, which is the weekend of the 25th of August, in case you're listening to this late. And I'm really excited for both these. They look really cool. One of them is a ship. That's kind of fun. I like that. But since we brought up Splatoon, I've got to say, Patrick and I did not see eye to eye when we were talking about the Salmon Run recently, and he was having a bit of a meltdown because of the random weapon allotment. But I don't think that's the problem, Patrick, I've got to say. I just think that no one knows how to play Salmon Run now. Everyone's stupid in that game. Everyone.
It's because you don't know what... Look, you don't know what you're getting. I think it's hard to play the game well when you're forced to play with a different weapon every single time. And feel is such an important part of Splatoon. You need to feel that everything's right. You need to feel comfortable with your loadout. I mean, it's an important part of lots of shooters, right? So when you're forced to play with a weapon that you're not comfortable with, you're going to be bad. Like, even good Splatoon players who can go with their loadout and be awesome might play bad with the wrong weapon. I think that's what's happening here.
But you're not excited that they're releasing new stages for Splatoon, because this new stage, A Lost Outpost, looks really cool. Like, it does freshen up the game.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. It's hard for me to be super excited about anything in Splatoon 2 right now, because I'm still trying to stay calm and not get pissed off at it every 5 seconds, which is why I'm only playing Turf War, and that's it.
Have you gotten to ranked yet?
No, because I've been lazy and I haven't felt inspired.
Oh,
to
play it. Get to ranked.
I will get there. Tim, you should consider it a victory that I have not sold the game off already. All right.
Come on, Patrick. Now you're just exaggerating. What about the bubble blower? Aren't you excited for the new special weapon?
This is fascinating. Unlike any other special we've gotten, you drop three bubbles that can be blown up when inked, so they kind of just float around on the map. They can be used offensively, defensively. I'm really excited to see this in ranked and how it works out, but it can be used against you, as the enemy team can ink it and cause it to blow up in your face,
which is so pretty awesome.
Yeah,
kind of makes me want to take back my words and say Splatoon 2 is a better game than ARMS, but
the creativity is just
I got a champion ARMS, guys. No one else is. But no, seriously, like, it looked like What they are doing with Splatoon 2 and even ARMS, like, Nintendo's just killing it, because they keep on giving us new items and new characters and new stages and new levels and give us reason to want to play the game again and again each and every single weekend. Patrick, like, come on.
Here's the thing, like, I still like, as long as I play Turf War, I feel pretty happy. I feel happy with Splatoon 2. It's just that I'm going to have to approach Salmon Run with a different mindset, I guess, where I have to just think, like, okay, I don't really care. Don't really give a shit what happened. Whether my rank goes up or down, I can't get angry about that, because Nintendo's handicapping me. They're tying two, whatever, squid tentacles behind my back and forcing me to go out there and telling me I need to play as good as possible, like, play the best ever with the guns that I hate. So I just have to approach it from the mindset, like, who cares about Salmon Run? I'm just going to try to go out there to have fun and shoot things and not care at all about the game, because if I care about the game and winning, it'll just make me mad that Nintendo's forcing me to play it that way.
Sell it!
The mode has been making me kind of grumpy, too, though, just because I think that people don't listen when you're like, over here, and you're just trying to get them away from an area that you're like, that's going to kill you.
Did you say people don't listen? How? They can't hear you because there's no goddamn fucking voice chat.
Hey, Nintendo's working on that. Have you seen the prototype? It looks great.
It's a great, I'm not here to like beat on Splatoon. It is still a very fun game. Like, Turf War is still awesome. It really still is. It's awesome. I do need to play it more. And every night I think, like, I should play some Turf War. And then I have other games, that's the thing, that I really want to beat. But I keep thinking I should play some Turf War, because that really is fun.
What we really should do is we should redirect listeners to the article you wrote on the website.
Yeah, I detailed out exactly what Splatoon 2 does that I don't like, and how it kind of, like, it's the anti-Breath of the Wild, where that was a game that let you play any way you want and tackle everything exactly how you wanted. Splatoon 2 is railroading you in many ways, in many of its modes, to play it how it wants you to play, and I don't like that. It rubs me the wrong way. Maybe Breath of the Wild spoiled me, I guess.
I mean, to be fair, the rest of Splatoon is the opposite. I mean, the campaign a little bit, but they're trying to coach you on how to use weapons.
No,
but when it comes
see,
to Turf yeah. War...
There's always an excuse,
war.
Right? There's always an excuse as to hey, why they shoehorn things in.
I don't think that's shoehorning. I think that every campaign should force new weapons on the player. Just so it's a safe place to learn them where they're not hampering teammates. I think that's a good call because...
Yeah, they have the test labs for that, Tim. You could just go into the, like, you could test every weapon out.
Nothing shooting at you in the test lab. What a waste.
This is when I would like to remind listeners that for whatever reason, I'm considered a negative person on the show.
I know. Like, let's get to some games that I like. Oh, I like Splatoon.
Let's make Rick look like the negative one for a change. You guys, the pre-orders for the SNES Classic went live for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they're all gone now, I believe. So why don't we go ahead and just start there first, Rick. Hold on just a little bit. How are we feeling about the pre-orders, how it was handled, and... I don't know. Did any of you guys manage to pre-order one?
I was asleep. It was like 3 a.m. when they went live.
Don't exaggerate. It was 2.
Okay, so you want me to start on a negative side, not start with the positive. Okay, so the bad news for me is the Super NES Classic Edition, the Super NES Mini that everybody wants, is not being sold here in Montreal. In fact, if I order the console, say from Ontario or the States or Japan, they will not ship it to me in Quebec because it's not allowed to be sold or shipped to Montreal. I kid you not.
And could you explain the reason why this is? It has to do
yes.
with the language, right?
I called EB Games this morning. I had like a 30-minute talk with the store manager. I was so angry. Not at the store manager. Like the store manager was angry. So basically, Quebec is considered like a French province. Montreal is within Quebec. And it's kind of like a good thing for Quebec, but it could backfire on like the people sometimes. So they have like specific laws in place that protects Quebec culture. So for example, if we get like a huge company like Blockbuster come into Quebec, like back in the day, they have specific laws that Blockbuster has to follow in order to prevent Blockbuster from shutting down all of the ma and pa shops nearby, right? So for example, although Blockbuster is like this huge, or at the time was a huge corporation, they wouldn't get like special deals. They would have to pay the exact same price and follow the exact same rules as everyone else, regardless of how big or small the shop is, right? But one of these rules that retailers have to follow is because it's a French province, the packaging of the product you're selling and the actual product itself, like be it a movie, a video game, or what have you, has to have French. And the problem is only 2 of these games come in French. So because there's no option to put French, be it on the packaging and or the games, they are not allowed to sell the Super Nintendo Classic Mini in Montreal. But the stupid thing is they won't allow retailers to ship it to people who reside in Quebec. That's what makes me so angry. So even though I'm shopping, say, outside of Quebec, I can't have it shipped to me. So what I need to do is I need to find someone who would be willing to accept the package. So for example, I order it and I ship it to Tim's house and then I send Tim the money so he can ship it to me because it's coming from him personally, not a business. They will allow it to come into Montreal. So I can't even buy the damn thing. I'm so upset. That said, I just want to say, and I wrote up a small article about this, the trailer that they released today for the Super NES Mini is like one of the best trailers I've seen for any product this year. It is absolutely incredible. Did you guys watch it?
I did. It's really cool. Yeah.
It's so cool because it's like a throwback to those early 90s, late 80s Nintendo commercials that were at the time like really edgy, sometimes controversial, racist, sexist, what have you. But
or weird.
Or just plain out weird. But I love the way the commercial starts. It's like it opens like a 30-second long short film where you have like some kid who has some like makeshift factory where he takes like a Super Nintendo, puts it through some sort of like machine and it shrinks it down into like a Nintendo NES Mini. I just love the commercial. I love the slogan. I love the fonts, the colors, the soundtrack. Everything about that commercial is dope. And I wrote in the article that Nintendo's had like the best marketing campaign since probably like the early 90s. Like they're killing it, not just with like the NES Mini, but with the games like ARMS and Splatoon and the Nintendo Switch itself. Like they're just doing such an amazing job with advertising. And I was doing some research and I had no clue But I found out that Nintendo's actually spent more money on marketing than PlayStation and Microsoft this year, which is insane.
They need it.
Well, they, I was going to say, they kind of need it, man. Their names have been dragged through a mud to a certain extent.
They also have more to offer right now. Like, no offense to either of the other companies, but everything there is new and exciting and fresh. Whereas, like, the other two have a couple of exclusives to tote. And I guess I should mention Project Scorpio, but, like, that's a very niche audience, whereas the Switch is for everybody.
You know, Sony's had a pretty good year, I think.
And not a bad year, but they don't have a ton of exclusives coming out, so they don't need to go hard into the.
They just released Uncharted, and they had Persona and Horizon.
Oh yeah, you're right. They just released Uncharted without Nathan Drake. Yeah, I forgot.
Which is actually like a lot better. But anyhow, this is not a Sony podcast.
I'm just saying a spinoff versus a brand new Zelda game, a new Splatoon game, a new Mario game.
Game can be sort of like labeled as a spinoff, but anyhow.
Come on, guys. We know Nintendo's never done a spinoff of anything, so let's give them credit for that at least, right?
Look, the point is, if any of you guys can get me to Super NES Mini, I know Ryan Cappy, like your co-host of the Game Boys podcast, Tim, said he might be able to get me one because I think he pre-ordered an extra, but I think that all depends on if you can get it or not. So I got my fingers crossed. But honestly, like this commercial is amazing, and we have to talk about the features. So what kind of blew my mind, and I'm sure you guys have heard about this, it has a rewind feature.
Yeah.
You can literally rewind time, guys.
Literally, yes.
So every game is Ocarina of Time now?
Yeah.
Literally, yeah.
I believe it's like, it varies on the game, right? So role-playing games, you can go back a few minutes.
No, I thought
that. And action games, you can go back like 30 seconds, I believe.
It takes you back to the literal 90s.
Oh, sure. Okay, well, that's even better then.
So the system includes a rewind feature that lets players rewind their gameplay to retry tricky sections. You can also save the game at any point, so it's just great, especially when you're playing one of those like impossible to beat like video games from like the early 90s. I'm really, 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 really stoked. The thing is, Patrick, I spoke to you about this on Slack. I had someone who was willing to sell me the Super Famicom Mini for like a relatively cheap price. They were going to give it to me, but then they all asked me for like $150. And I was going to buy it, but then I was looking at like the games, and even with the NES Mini, and I was like, I own all of these games on like several consoles, plus the original NES cartridges, right? Now, the same sort of like applies to the games featured on the Super NES Mini, but then I look at the lineup, and I look at the commercial, and I'm like, damn, I could play these games over and over and over, and they look so sharp, like so good. Like, this is the console I really, really want.
Yeah, me too. I don't care. I mean, any other minis that they make, this is the one that I want. I am curious, like... All right, so Mike, you haven't tried to get an SNES Mini, right? And I'd like to know what George has experienced, if he's even tried over in the UK.
I did actually try and get one.
Oh, you did?
Just today I was trying to grab one, only because, I actually own most of these games on my Wii U anyway, so I don't have a lot of motivation to get one. But I have two little ones, a three-year-old and a four-year-old, and they are getting more and more interested in the games that Daddy plays, so... I thought the Super NES Classic would be a good way to introduce them to gaming, and it's relatively cheap. It should be pretty durable. You know, so if the kids want to knock it around or if they break it, it's only $100. But
yeah.
It seemed like a good way to introduce the little ones to gaming for the first time.
No, Mike, that sounds like the stupidest idea. You're going to let kids touch this console? It's going to be like so hard to get. Once you get your hands on it, that's it. It's going to be sold out.
I like Mike's idea with this.
No way, I would never let my kids touch my video game systems. I'd be like, go out and buy your own.
That's a good dad.
Get them started on the classics, man. Gotta get them started on the classics.
On your Wii U, not on the Super NES Mini.
You're missing the point. I want to play on my wireless controller. I want to have the better system. The Wii U is the better system. I don't want to play it. I don't even want to play on the SNES Classic. I don't want to sit next to my TV to play. I want wireless controllers, man.
And George, what about in the UK? Have you even tried, or have you heard anything?
I think I glimpsed at the idea of doing it, and it was already like sold out.
Yeah,
it was just there was no way.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous.
But these are pre-orders. There's clearly going to be stock in store like the day it gets released, which I believe is, when does it get released? It gets released
the 22nd or something like
September.
That. Yeah.
So. And there will be more shipments throughout the year. Obviously, this isn't the end of the stock. It's not like pre-orders. This is it. Pre-orders and then whatever comes to the stores and that's it. I'm sure they're going to ship out more stuff. People will have more chances to get these things. But it isn't a good sign. That's all.
I'm really surprised this happened after the NES Mini. Like, because I'm sure whoever, I can't remember, the bloke who runs Nintendo of America, he was like, oh, no, we didn't expect this many people to want it. We won't let this happen again in future. And here we are again.
Yep. You're talking about Reggie, but the thing is, Nintendo did say that it's still going to be limited. They said that they would send out more units than the NES Mini, but it's still a limited product. Like, it's limited, I guess you call it a limited edition, right? No, it's not a limited edition because there's only one edition. It's just, it's limited supply.
Yeah, and they're stopping shipments by December. That's what they said. So if you don't, like, that's the last time they're going to send shipments out. But, I mean, there'll be more shipments over the course of the next few months.
And by that, Patrick means they'll send out one special unit and one lucky person in the world will get their hands on it.
The shipments were small, but they were fairly frequent. Trust me, I was at Target very, very early in the morning several times, and I actually got two NES Classics, so...
Wait, you got two NES Classics?
I got two, yeah.
You lie.
No, I remember
Tim said that, and then he gave one to Ryan.
Or Ryan, I called Ryan, and he got his own, but I gave one as a gift. Right. Yeah, I gave one as a gift to someone who really wanted one, and I said, I will get you one, and I don't care what it takes. So
it's doable. I'm going to do that for the SNES Classic. I will get one.
No, that's my plan. It just
we got to move on, but in all honesty, if you can get an extra console for me, I will... I will do it.
Yeah, I'll if I can get two, I will.
Okay, there's one more thing we got to talk about really quick before we move on to the main event. Nintendo also released a Super Nintendo inspired 3DS XL, and it is beautiful. Like,
I love this.
I want to get this, even though I will maybe never play it because at this point I just don't play my 3DS anymore. Yeah. But it's gorgeous. I love it.
Anytime they do a retro themed current console, it's so rad. Like, I remember the Game Boy Advance SP had the NES themed one, and that was super cool. I always love it. So I'm glad to see that trend returning. I'm not buying in this time, but if I didn't have my Majora's Mask one, I would definitely buy one just because it's so cool.
Ditto, Tim.
I kind of want to buy it, but it's only available in Europe, although I'm pretty sure they're going to release a Super NES US version for the 3DS.
You know what is really irking me about just this announcement is that Nintendo, like, it's so hard to keep what Nintendo is doing straight. I can't even imagine what it must be like for a layman, because I find myself confused by it. Even as somebody who keeps a pretty close bead on the industry, like, they were just talking about how they're stopping production on the new 3DS. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then now they announced that they have a new version of the 2DS. And then now they're like, here's a new version of the 3DS XL. But then I thought, didn't they stop making the 3DS? And I was like, oh no, that was the new 3DS.
So yeah, just the smaller version, the new 3DS is what they stopped. They're still making the new 3DS XL and the new 2DS or whatever.
Good lord, man.
The 3DS is the most convoluted handheld in the history of gaming. Like, possibly the most convoluted console in the history of gaming.
I made fun of Nintendo last week, and I was joking around because they are releasing like 16,000 different versions of the 3DS XL, but apparently they don't have enough resources to make any more Switch consoles, which makes no sense. I guess the idea is that they have all of these units like lying around, like these systems lying around in a warehouse, and they're trying to find a way to sell the stock, like get them out of the warehouse.
I think that's got to be it.
That's got to be it. So what they're doing is they're releasing these like special editions. Like, they had the Metroid Samus one. Now they have the Super Famicom one. They have, but the 2DS was strange. That was strange because they were actually like, they weren't just taking like a bunch of like consoles sitting around a warehouse and like repackaging them in like a different box and adding a different skin. Like, they actually like developed a whole new console, which was really weird.
I mean, the Switch. They said they're supporting the console through 2018, so I think they're just trying to get those last people who have yet to buy in, saying, look, we have a new Metroid game. This is probably what you were waiting for. It's got an enormous library. Here's the console you actually want. No gimmicks, no nothing, just a solid console.
All right, we really got to move on to the main event because we also have like one of the best video games of 2017 to review at the end of the show.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a discussion of whether or not the Switch should have achievements. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, I feel like I'm mashing the tufty on the links at St. Andrews.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Super Nintendo Chalmers.
To play it loud with over 20 awesome games. Radical features. Go back in time with Rewind. Pick a frame that fits your style. Save anytime, anywhere with suspend points. Experience super effects technology. And the never before released Star Fox 2. 21 games, 2 controllers, 1 sweet deal. Now you're playing with power. Superpower.
Welcome back to N-Express. Right now on GoombaStomp.com, you can go and read 2 different articles, one written by Mike Warby in support of achievements on the Nintendo Switch, and one by George Cheese, saying that Nintendo has been right all along by ignoring achievements. So, you guys, who is right, who is wrong? We are ready for another fun, frantic, I'm going to say argument on this podcast, because I've got opinions. You guys clearly have opinions. Why don't we go ahead and start with the pro achievements? Mike, quickly summarize your article and why we should have achievements on the Switch.
Okay, well, I feel like this has been a very strange thing over the years that, you know, Microsoft developed them in 2005. I believe Steam picked them up in 2007, Sony picked them up in 2008, and ever since then, these have been sort of just an industry standard. And, you know, Nintendo has this habit of falling behind industry standards, as we've seen again and again. This is particularly egregious because it's such a small thing to add to a game. It can't take much effort to add it, and they already have this huge back library of games that they could put it in. But it's not just that. Like, it's just about parity. Like, if they want to get in on multi-platform games and stuff, they need to have parity with the other consoles. If you have the choice, like if there's a multi-platform game and you have to pick it up on Sony, Microsoft, or Nintendo, what reason do you have to pick it up on Nintendo? In this case, now with the Switch, you have the motivation to take it on the go, I guess. But the point is that achievements have been around for a long time. If you don't like them, you can completely ignore them and they'll have no effect on your game. If you do like them, they give you an excuse to replay games you like just to get them, and they can encourage you to play games in new and different ways. So that's the basic summary of why I cannot believe in 2017 we still don't have achievements on Nintendo.
And George, you don't think they should have achievements on Nintendo consoles. Why don't you go ahead and summarize your article, give your point of view.
Well, I'm just going to make a disclaimer. Like, I don't hate achievements, but I think that Nintendo know what they're doing by not adopting them as of this time. Basically, I think achievements, they can force you. Well, they're clearly not mandatory, but they can encourage you to play games in a certain way to sort of maximize how many achievements you get per playthrough. For instance, the first time playing through a game, so I've read anecdotally that certain people look up achievements before they play to see how many they can like get in a single playthrough of a game. Even like they won't sort of look at, do they actually want to play this game the way they want to play it? They will go, okay, well, I'm going to play it. I'm going to do a no kills stealth playthrough just so I can maximize and get all these achievements. And that's something cool. That's something called an extrinsic motivator, which is basically motivation that exists outside of the game. I guess the game world or the actual game itself, and it encourages a certain style of play that Nintendo don't really want to encourage, which Bill Trinan in 2010 mentioned in an interview with Kotaku, which I link in the article. I think that due to Nintendo's like game design philosophy, they have deliberately not included achievements.
Well, I mean, there are some Nintendo games, which I think you mentioned in your article, like the Mario games, where you, if you want, you can collect all like 1,056 stars and et cetera, et cetera, right?
Yeah, so they can contain like internal unlockables and achievement-like systems, but they usually have some sort of value within the game.
I think like the interesting thing about the achievements is the psychology that goes behind them, like why the game developers actually go through the trouble of putting them in the game. And it's because it sort of encourages and motivates people to continuously want to play those games and sort of become addicted to these achievements and wanting to actually get all of the achievements. I'm not entirely sure what exactly it does for the video game industry in terms of like them making a profit. I understand Mike's point of view, because what Mike is basically saying in his article is that you don't have to force people to actually chase these achievements. It's just a matter of having an option. But at the same time, like we always say in the podcast, and one of the things we love about Nintendo is Nintendo tries to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And we like how they don't necessarily follow the competitor. So I'm sort of like, I don't really have an opinion because I don't care about achievements. And at the same time, I think both articles have valid points. So I'm on the fence.
I do have some information in terms of profits, and this is a sort of recent example. There's a game called My Name is Mayo on Steam and PS4, where basically it's not really a game, but you pick a bottle of mayo for like 2 hours, and then you get the platinum achievement. So that's all the achievements in the game. And basically, I think the sales numbers for that game is in like the tens of thousands. And it's only a dollar game. But that's still, I find that completely bizarre. Like, I don't know.
That it's basically somebody's buying it to get the achievement.
Yeah.
That's achievement culture. That's like, I remember Xbox 360, when Microsoft first introduced this, there was games like Hannah Montana's Pony Adventure and stuff like that. And they were the games, like really stupid games.
Tell me you bought that, Mike.
No, I didn't, but I mean, the point is that people would buy these games, they'd grab them from the bargain bin and pick them up and play through them just for an easy 1,000 points on their gamer score, or, you know, later on just for an easy platinum, which, yeah. I mean, that, it's your, you know, humans of the world, it's your time, it's your money, if you want to spend 10,000 hours playing Terraria like I saw on someone's Steam account one time, it's your life, but I think the reason, like, One of the points that I thought, or that I made in my article, that I think would actually make this financially beneficial, because I mean, at the end of the day, that's the question. That's the only motivation you can give to Nintendo as to why this might actually be a good idea. And I think what I'm hoping is when they have their, because they haven't really released their virtual console yet. I'm hoping is like when anybody who went from the Wii to the Wii U will recall that if you wanted to upgrade your games to take advantage of the new features on the Wii U, you had to pay like $1 or $1.50 to get the upgraded versions. So what I'm hoping is that once the virtual console is rolled out on the Switch, the old games will be released with achievements. And then now you're paying like the dollar for whatever, you know, whatever new features plus achievements. That's what I'm hoping. And I think that is the chief motivator that could be used to financially motivate people to make this a thing where Nintendo can rub their fingers together and say, okay, now you got me listening, you know?
Dude, you are crazy. That's never happening. Like, we have we stand a better chance of them actually giving us a proper voice chat in Splatoon. There's no way. First of all, I don't even think we're going to get any of those classic games released on a Switch, because right now they're so busy making and selling these mini NES, Super NES, and soon-to-come GameCube, N64, etc. mini consoles, that they're not going to want to release those games on a virtual console on the Switch and charge $5 a game when you can buy the whole entire package for $60. So that's not coming for a long time. I think that's why the virtual console is delayed, but there's no way they're going to include achievements, and there's no way, I don't think they're going to be able to find a way to link up what you purchase on the Wii U to the Switch. I think it was easier for them to do with the Wii and Wii U, but to go from that jump from the Wii U to Switch, there's no way it's happening.
That might I don't think be there also... was a link up. I think you just transferred them over and then it recognized what was on your console after the fact.
Yeah, that's I think right. if this was Microsoft, I would say yes. Like, you know, the way Microsoft is allowing players to easily transfer their games on the previous consoles to, say, the Xbox One Scorpio, like, it's amazing, right? But this is Nintendo. Nintendo never makes it easy for us to do these things.
It's possible. It all depends on how they link up the Nintendo account to the, you know, how the virtual console reads that. Because if it can send, if it knows that you bought something on the Wii U, your Nintendo account recognizes that, right? So your Nintendo account is essentially the same as it's always been. And even though my Nintendo is somewhat different, the account has stayed the same and the information is still there. So it could recognize that you bought this game on the Wii U and just charge you an upgrade.
It could. I'm just saying it's never going to happen. But
but regardless, like, no I got to say, okay, so this is one thing. Somebody tell me if I'm correct in this. Can you turn achievements off? I don't think you can, yeah. Right? Oh, well, you can't.
You can turn the notifications off.
Okay. So, I mean, as long as you can turn notifications off, I don't see a reason not to have them for people that want them. I personally would never want to play through a game where little notifications pop up constantly telling you, like, you did this, you fell off a cliff, you know, achievement.
But from Nintendo's point of view, that's a personal choice for me. Yeah, but it's from Nintendo's point of view is that, from my understanding, Nintendo is not fond of having achievements because Nintendo takes pride in the games they make. And for them, they don't need achievements to make people want to replay their games. As you well know, we rebuy and replay all of these classic Nintendo games for a reason, because they're freaking amazing. And so Nintendo just doesn't want to add achievements because they don't think they need to in order for people to replay. So it's a matter of pride for the Japanese company.
I think it's more they don't want to dictate how people play. And I think for some people, achievements do dictate how you play, that you make certain choices based around achievements, and there are just certain individuals who will always be guided by these rewards, whether they're physical or just these ambiguous little trophy things that pop up when you do something. You know, you get your gold star for the day, and I think that they don't want that. Like, can you imagine that happening in Breath of the Wild? They want you to do whatever the hell you want in Breath of the Wild. That was the glory of that game. There is nothing that they're going to tell you to do in that game. You can kill enemies however you want. You can not kill enemies if you want. Like, it doesn't matter. Do whatever you want in Breath of the Wild. That's the point of the game, I think. And so I think to then say, like, oh, but you get this special trophy if you kill an enemy this way, it's kind of counterintuitive to what specifically Breath of the Wild is. I think they kind of view all games that way. They don't want to tell you how to play Mario. They want you to approach everything how you want to approach it.
Well, you're not wrong, Tim, in what you're saying in terms of, like, how achievements can motivate you to play games a different way. But I think that's part of their value in some ways, especially. See, you bring up Zelda as an example, and I think there's I have a sort of a counter argument that, just to kind of, you know, give people a different way of thinking about it. When I played through the Uncharted collection recently, there's achievements for killing a certain amount of enemies with each gun. Now, what that encourages you to do is to not just use the same guns all the time, right? It encourages you to use different guns as you go through the game in order to unlock these achievements. So you get a different feel for every gun, and then it kind of encourages you to step out of your comfort zone and play the game differently. Now, the reason I think that can compare to Zelda is because I feel like Breath of the Wild had that as sort of a thesis from the start by giving you not even the Master Sword as an unbreakable, you know, completely reliable weapon. The idea was to get you to focus on using different weapons throughout the game and never get too comfortable with anything. So I feel like it doesn't have to be an if and or situation. Like, there are ways that it doesn't need to be an across-the-board situation. There's different ways you can adapt achievements in different games. Hell, Telltale just has you get the platinum just for beating their games.
Yeah, but Mike, going back to your comparison to Zelda, I mean, that's the whole point. Like, Nintendo gave us the Master Sword, but yet the Master Sword, it couldn't necessarily be destroyed, but like it would have to be recharged, but that's the thing. Like Nintendo gave us weapons and it gave us the durability system, so those weapons would not last. So Nintendo was still in a way forcing players to find like to not be comfortable with using one specific weapon and have to use just about everything in the game. That's the thing about Nintendo. The way they design the games, they do give us, and like the perfect example is going back to like the greatest game ever made, like The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past on a Super Nintendo Entertainment System. There, it's like it's holding your hand. It's telling you exactly where you have to go and what you have to do, but it gives this illusion that you're actually choosing everything, but that's not really true. And that's the thing about Nintendo. Like all of the games, it's like Nintendo does design, I'm sorry Tim, but Nintendo designs their games to be played a specific way. You could choose what you do first and maybe which path you choose to like turn left or turn right, but it's still designed to be played a specific way.
And it's just very organic.
Yes and no. I mean,
what they've done is very organic, that's all. It feels more natural when they're guiding you in a certain direction. And yeah, Zelda is designed to be played a certain way, even Breath of the Wild is. It just gives you a lot more options in how to play it their way. Obviously, they've set up rules. They've set up parameters of that universe. Like, you can't just fly around and do whatever you want. There are certain ways that you do have to play. But
even in Splatoon 2, like the big argument over the past 2 weeks is the fact that they force you to use specific weapons.
Yeah, well, they do it too much there. That's my problem with that. They do it far too much. They get too nitty-gritty with that. Splatoon 2 needs gun achievements. That's the only way, Mike, that I'll play all those different guns.
But what's fun about Nintendo games is all those rewards are in-game, and you actually get something in-game. I feel like too frequently games just have achievements, and they're like, yeah, there's your reward.
Yeah.
I feel like more and more we're pushing away from the like, hey, you did something super dope, here's a helmet or something cool in game. Like I remember Halo 4, a game that everyone shat all over, even though it was super fun.
Pretty good.
Like you could work towards stuff in the game and it was rewarded to you as armor. Now they've totally abandoned all that. You get achievements and you can buy for some like rec packs.
But that's the point I'm trying to make, and that's the point of George's article, is the fact that Nintendo designs their games specifically in a way where they don't really need achievements. So, and that's why I'm saying I'm on the fence here, because I agree with Mike that in a way there's nothing wrong with giving people the option, because it's just an option, right? But at the same time, Nintendo doesn't really need it, and that's where I think George is right.
Yeah, there's something I've seen recently which is relevant to your later segment, but some people decided to not buy a certain Hedgehog game recently on the PS4 because it didn't have a Platinum Trophy, and instead they're buying it on the Switch. And I think that's really interesting. So this does aid Mike's argument, but if that game, like, Nintendo would probably benefit from an achievement system, but I don't think their games would, is my point.
Well, that's stupid. First of all, I decided to buy Sonic on the Switch. You know why? Because I can play it anywhere I want.
Yeah,
exactly. That is why the Nintendo Switch is now my favorite console. If Persona 5 would get released on the Switch, I would be playing Persona 5 right now. Like, I wish to God.
On the podcast.
I think the strongest argument, because I'm kind of, I believe it or not, I'm kind of leaning towards George's side on this. Because the strongest argument you make is that it will influence, regardless of having the options and everything like that. Nintendo definitely does want players to experience their games in a certain way, and achievements don't fall in line with that because they take you out of the game and they're trying to immerse you in the game. I loved your psychological analysis of what achievements do, and that's what really sold me on your argument more, that I think Nintendo, their whole philosophy on game design, it does favor them not to have achievements, because that way they get to sort of control the immersion a little bit better.
Mm. Well, I just don't get this whole thing that Nintendo has. Like, I totally agree with all of you guys that it's some weird philosophical thing they have about, you know, the right way to play a game or whatever, but it's like, there is no right way to play a game. Like, if people enjoy achievements, they can enjoy them. If people don't enjoy achievements, they can ignore them. It's like, why does this have to be so complicated?
That's fair, but as someone...
It's a work of art, Mike.
But Patrick, you're joking around, but it's true. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, but like, I honest to God feel like there's a huge difference between Nintendo and like, say, every other video game developer out there. Like, say, compared them to Konami. Like, I think, like, there's clearly people in all of these video game companies that are artists, that they, like, they're proud of their work, and they want to achieve something great and design these amazing games. But there's also people in those companies that just want to make a profit, and they interfere, right? But with Nintendo, I feel like even the people who are sitting in, the boardroom meetings, who are just interested in making a profit, like, I kind of feel like they still have pride in their company. Like, it's this weird thing about Nintendo, to the point where they're so stubborn, they do the stupidest thing sometimes that drives us, the fans, up a wall. But there is this weird philosophy behind the company, and then, like, you know what I mean? And it's just, I think, like, I'm not living in Japan, but for my friend MJ, who lives in Japan, he keeps on talking to me about Nintendo. He's like, you got to understand Japanese culture. And he's like, the only way you could do that is actually live here. And then maybe if you live here long enough, you can actually understand why they choose to do what they do.
Well, I totally get where they're coming from, and I think it is a conscious design choice, and I think maybe the right one for them. But have you ever played a game where people are clearly achievement hunting? It gets to be obnoxious, and it definitely dictates how some people play.
It's now, addictive, I think.
Yeah, just imagine for a while, real quick, if Splatoon 2 had achievements right now, and someone like Patrick was super into them, right? And I'm just in there, I'm trying to have fun, and I'm trying to win a match of Turf War. But Patrick, my friend, is just going for Splat Charger kills because there's an achievement and he's got to use the Splat Chargers, but he is ass with the Splat Charger. He's horrible. It's his worst weapon. And so I'm like, can you please stop using the Splat Charger? You're literally sinking all of our hopes of winning. But he's like, no, I've got to get this achievement. I've been there. That's Overwatch. That happens all the time. Where I'm like, you are terrible with this hero. You must be going for an achievement, but get off that hero and pick someone better. Please.
Yeah, Patrick.
So, I am bad. You know, Tim was, everything Tim was describing there, other than my obsession with achievements, is entirely correct. I am terrible with the Splat Charger. That's why I don't want to play it. Nintendo, don't make me.
You know what? That's really interesting, actually. As someone who almost never plays multiplayer games, I've never experienced this at all.
That's where it's the most annoying. If it's single-player games, if you're playing Demon's Souls or Uncharted, have fun. I don't care. Like, if you want to go for 100%, that's cool. I did it in a multiplayer game. I think I've got all achievements except for one in Destiny, which is kind of saying something. There's a lot there. But it definitely at times will dictate how you're playing in a multiplayer game. And if it detracts from a team setting, then it's not worth it. And I think Nintendo's all about playing together and having fun.
Yeah, I think the bottom line here is that Nintendo still has its own version of achievements within the game. And I understand what you're saying, Mike. And having the option, I guess, would satisfy someone like you. But at the same time, I don't really think it's needed, at least not in the world of Nintendo. So
keep Nintendo weird.
What?
Keep Nintendo weird. I'm going to use the Portland mantra.
Yeah, except for Portland sucks.
So what you're saying...
You're right about that, Tim. Sorry,
what you're saying is that Nintendo doesn't want me to run up and down the stairs in Dark Souls for 3 hours mining the same material so I can make something so I can get the last achievement that I'm missing.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm saying there. Because what's happening there is
if you kind of get your point.
If you are doing that, then this achievement, which therefore comes with the game, is telling you to do the specific task, which is pointless because it's only to achieve this like medal or trophy, but it has really nothing to do with the actual game that they designed and are proud of that they want you to play properly. Like it's a distraction. It's like I don't know, it's like going to a hockey game and doing the exact same thing. I tell you to walk up and down the stairs for like 30 minutes and I'm going to give you like an award, like a popcorn, but you're not actually watching the hockey game. Like, it makes no sense.
I've 100% did all the Souls games, and I love the Souls games, but it was just trying to get those last three achievements was just so tedious, and I'm really glad that Nintendo games don't have a similar...
Wait, yes, they do. It's called the Korok Seeds in Breath of the Wild. I got all 200 of them, and they give you a giant pile of shit in the end.
I was going to say that, Patrick. You want people to go get all 900 of those freaking seeds... I'll tell you how you do it. You give them an achievement, and you'll holy crap, Nintendo! Everybody's playing Zelda for 500 hours now.
They did give
but
you,
but they still do though.
A pile of shit they gave
they
you.
They still do. That's the thing, Mike. I 100% completed Super Mario World 3D for the Wii U, which took me a goddamn year, and I did it. But I did not need this achievement system.
Nor did I.
Yeah, so like, what will make everyone happy is if we just include an achievement system with the podcast. So you can just listen to our podcast.
You have listened to one podcast.
You have a trophy. Give us a rating on iTunes. You get two trophies.
What? No. You guys, writing a review is automatic platinum trophy.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
All right. We really got to move on.
By like 1,000. So do it. Do it now. Anyway, so that was actually a fun discussion. Not too heated, which is maybe for the best. So I believe that Mike Warby is going to depart from us. But you guys, it is his birthday today. So achievement unlocked. Mike, you did it. You made it to 32. Congratulations. We're all super proud.
Thank you. I wonder if Nintendo has a gift for me, like an achievement system, for example. But hey, I mean, we'll see.
All I want to know is if the 32-year-old achievement influenced the way Mike has played the game of life.
It is, you know what, I'll tell you that 32-year-old achievement affects my speed at work and a lot of the daredevil-y things I would have normally done, like carrying extra things, you know. When you work in the labor industry, you start to realize that as you achieve upwards, that you have to start taking less risks or you're not gonna be able to finish the game.
See, there you go, Mike. George's argument wins out.
All right.
You're
thanks
playing
again.
It their way.
Thanks again, Mike, for joining us.
No problem. I always love coming on here because as a man who's edited many a podcast, it's a nice break to just come on, talk about video games, and say, see ya.
I love it. Seriously. Mike, where can we find you online?
You can find me writing, editing, doing all kinds of crazy stuff over at GoombaStomp.com. And you can find me on Twitter at GameskeeperMike.
Mike, thanks again for joining us. We will talk to you again soon. For the rest of you, don't go anywhere because after this quick, speedy break, we're talking about the fastest hedgehog alive. Don't go anywhere.
Basta, basta. Take a picture with the internet mameluka.
Supersonic. Supersonic. And the U is for unique. The P is for perfection, and you know that we are freaks. The E is for exotic, and the R is for raps. So tell those nosy people just to stay the hell back. Supersonic, them big everlasting ears. Supersonic, they can hear what I say fast and I can say. Supersonic, they better chill. Rock, rock, it's like supersonic. You ran out of words. Hit it, baby D. I'm light skinned and devil said I know what they intended. That's right. Everybody say I'm happy. If you try to hang with me, you should find a true thing. I'm always rocking, never stopping, devastating, rapper lady. When I'm on a microphone, they see the audience intimidated. Figure is a difference. Everybody say I'm different. There's no other angel lover. Everybody know I'm covered clientele. There's a pearl. Everybody know in jail. To the beast, so you can tell. Everybody know you tell. I'm a llama, 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 doomin. I'm a semen. I'm a llama, llama, doomin. I'm a llama, llama, semen. I'm a llama, llama, doomin. I'm a llama, llama, semen. I'm a llama, llama, semen. I'm a doomin. I'm a llama. Yeah. That was it. That's it. That's it.
Sonic the Hedgehog is a very controversial character, as we're about to find out. And all of us have very different histories with the character. I grew up on the games. I used to love the old Sega games. And I even liked some of the later games, including Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, later as in GameCube era, for reference. But now we have gone back to basics. We have gone back to the 90s. And we have Sonic Mania, the latest and sadly greatest Sonic adventure in quite some time. So, Ricky, Patrick, you are both playing this game right now. How are we feeling about it? Are we glad that Sonic's back to his roots? Or is this just an unfriendly reminder of the character's rough, rough, rough history?
Do you want me to go first, Rick, or do you want to go first?
I kind of feel like you should, because I'm going to get really excited.
Okay. All right, so I will say, my whole history with Sonic is I've always thought he was just okay, right? He's fine. He's been fine, but he's like the B movie of platformers. This is the B movie series of platformers. Sonic is they're never as good as Mario. They lack the fundamentals that Mario has, but they're perfectly enjoyable as long as you don't care about having tight platforming controls or cohesive level design, right? But they're fun. They're colorful and they're speedy. They got some flashy fireworks, as most B movies try to do occasionally to distract you from their low production values. And I think Sonic, like, to me, Sonic Mania is one of the most enjoyable B movies I've ever seen. Like, it's, or I've ever played. It's it's not perfect by any means. Like, the controls are, they're Sonic. Like, this is a great love letter to Sonic because everything feels like Sonic. He's still a little slippery. There's a little bit of wonkiness with how you control. It's not as tight as Mario and responsive as Mario is. You know, there's some little things when you try to do spin attacks, like it doesn't register sometimes. Like, this is Sonic, though. This is how it's always been. But the levels are all over the place. Like, good luck trying to memorize a level, you know, how it's laid out, because they basically send you shooting off all over the place and you just got to sort of press on and carry forward. But there is a lot of fun stuff here. Like, I'm still having a good time playing this. I'm having a blast playing it because it is really colorful. There are some really cool little things, like neat things that the developer has put in. Obviously, they have made this a love letter to old Sonic. So you have old stages and they put little twists on them and stuff like that. And that's all very fun. But they've also created some new stages that are really, really cool. They have some cool platforming ideas. There's one in particular that I believe, oh man, I can't remember what the name of the stage is, but it involves you sticking to these moving platforms, sticking to walls and stuff like that. I thought that was a really cool mechanic. They got great boss fights. I love the music. It's all very retro. It feels fantastic. Sonic will be always just inferior to Mario, but it's still a lot of fun to play. Like I say, I love B movies, and I really like this new game quite a bit.
Man, Tim, this game is amazing. Like, you really, really should pick it up. And George, you too. Like, I am not a big fan of Sonic. Like, I've never been a big fan of Sonic the Hedgehog. I've many times on the show poked fun at the character. I like the actual character. I'm just not fond of the games. But after Sonic the Hedgehog and its Mega Drive sequels captured the imaginations of, like, kids around the world back in, like, what was it, 1991? Afterwards, the Sonic games have sucked, like, in my opinion. I haven't played them all, but all the games I've played were just, like, terrible. And it took them so long to actually find the magic formula once again. And it's no secret and it's no wonder that it took an actual fan game to recapture the spirit and everything that's good about Sonic the Hedgehog. Because the thing about this game, Sonic Mania, is it's, like, what makes it great is the people behind it. Like, that's the thing. Like, Sega basically hired Christian Whitehead, aka the Taxman. He's like one of the lead programmers of this game. They actually hired him a few years ago to recreate the old Sonic titles for iOS and Android, but they also hired Simon Tomley, who's a fan game known as Stealth, who also worked on the game. And they also hired I think his name is pronounced Lopez. Apologies if I don't pronounce your name properly, but he remixes like video game tracks on YouTube, and so they hired him to sort of like remix the sound and the music for this game. So basically what they did, Sega, was they hired all of these like video game fans, and it just works. And so when I think of like all of these like fan-made games that are pulled off of the internet, specifically by Nintendo, and I just scratch my head. I'm like, why isn't Nintendo hiring these guys? Like, they should hire these guys, because these guys, it's like, I kind of feel like the irony here is that these guys, like this team of developers, they actually kind of understand the franchise better than the actual people who made the franchise what it is way back in 1991.
Let me just pause you right there real quick and answer your question. It's because Nintendo understands what their games are and Sega didn't.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
That's 100% why Nintendo doesn't need to hire anyone, is because they're clearly still making some of the best games they've ever made.
And I never said they're not, but I don't see why Nintendo would pass on hiring a developer who makes like this amazing Metroid 2D game. Like, why not add them to your roster of like superstars? That makes no sense to me.
They're cloning Nintendo greats. They're not creating anything original or new. I have opinions about this. Like, people are just emulating some of the great stuff that Nintendo's done, but Nintendo can do it better than the rest of them. They've shown us that with Mario Maker. So, like, I think with Nintendo, there's no need to hire people like that. They have a lot of talent, and I have immense respect for their development teams. But
completely on a different topic right now. The point I'm trying to make here is I think the reason why this game is good is because they actually hired these people who understand the franchise better than the people who have been making the games working for Sega over the past, like, 20 years. And I think that's why the game...
I think that's true.
Yeah, and I think that's why the game is fantastic. Like, and so the thing about this game, Tim, and again, I'm not like, I don't have like the greatest knowledge of Sonic the Hedgehog and the franchise. I've played a lot of the games, I've played the classic games. The thing about this game is a lot of the levels are basically remixes of the stages from the original Mega Drive games. Now, so when you're playing the game at first, you're kind of like, okay, this is awesome. The graphics look good. It's super fast. It's like the greatest pinball machine game ever made, but it's still familiar. It's not original, right? But for a decent chunk of this game, they actually have brand new levels. And those brand new levels are incredible. And I kind of wish that the whole entire game was brand new levels, or at least
they're the best ones.
They're the best ones. Or if they only had a few more of these new levels for this specific game, those levels are insane. But even the remixes of the old levels, they're just so, so incredibly fun. So there's like over a dozen stages, if I'm not mistaken. And like, it's just so much fun to play these games. Again, I'm not the biggest Sonic fan, but I'm telling you, I love this game. I actually picked up Uncharted, and I still haven't played Uncharted because I'm hooked on Sonic. And Uncharted is like one of my favorite franchises of all time. So that's how much I like this game. I love it. And there's this stage called Studio Polis. Like, it's basically like this giant TV studio.
Yeah, that stage is awesome visually.
It's incredible. Because like yeah. All Sonic games, like most platformers, each stage has like a specific theme. So this theme, it's modeled after a television studio in a big city. And I was like playing, yeah. I was playing this level and I was like, oh my God, if Super Mario Odyssey had some sort of like cinematic level or TV studio inspired level in Mario, I would lose my shit because I've always wanted that. So like, the set pieces, the lighting, the sound, the soundtrack, the speed, everything about this game is sharp. It's on point. But I think the reason why the game works is because of the controls and the gameplay. Like, one of the problems I've always had with every Sonic game I've ever played since 1991 is the controls. Like, sometimes Sonic just, I don't know, he's too heavy or too twitchy or too stubborn or too something, too floaty. He's just stubborn and he doesn't do what I want him to do. And there's something about this game where the controls are just so sharp, so fluid, so tight that it just makes the game so incredibly fun. It's never, ever frustrating. And that's why I think, for me, this is like the best Sonic game I've ever played. I think it's like on par with like the originals. I think it's better than the originals. But I, you know, given the fact that the original came out in 1991 and because technology has advanced so much, like, you know, like, I still give credit to those games for making Sonic, like, one of the greatest mascots in the gaming industry and, like, a household name. But I have trouble replaying those games. This game is just, I could see myself playing this game in the next 10 years.
See, I think it's interesting that you think that the controls are so sharp. That's always been my biggest complaint with Sonic, and it would be probably my biggest complaint with this game as well. Like, it feels like old Sonic. To me, this feels like Sonic 1, 2, and 3, which is a great thing for many people. For me, I still consider those to be inferior controls. I don't like his momentum a lot of the time. I think it feels wrong that he doesn't start. I am very used to Mario, so a lot of this can be just chalked up to the fact that I love the way Mario feels. I think Mario feels a hell of a lot better than Sonic does. And to me, Sonic Mania is the same thing. Like, if you love Sonic and you love the way that he controls, this game doesn't change any of that. Like, this is perfect Sonic 1 through 3. This is Sega Genesis Sonic right here. And he controls fine for those games, I guess. But for me, I've never liked the momentum of Sonic, and I don't like it necessarily in this game. But I still, it's a very playable game, though. I'm not saying the controls are bad. I'm just saying, as far as finely tuned platforming goes, I never feel as in control with Sonic as I do with Mario. Like, when I have to make some jumps in this game, just simple, I'm standing on the ledge of a platform and maybe there's a moving platform in front of me, I am never sure that I am going to make that jump.
I get what you're saying, but the thing about Sonic games, and that's kind of like one of my problems with the Sonic games too, is it forces you to build speed to clear obstacles and defeat enemies. And there's no game that I've ever played, at least platformer, that captures that same lightning in a bottle need for speed that Sonic does capture. But the thing about this game, it's like when you play a pinball machine, like, the ball is not going to fly out of the machine, like unless someone breaks the glass. And so, yeah, at times you don't have control of Sonic, clearly, because it's moving so incredibly fast that I'm like, I don't even know how the camera can catch it. I don't even understand how the camera can keep up with Sonic. But the game sort of like takes over. And so it's not like Sonic will just fall into the middle of like an endless pit and die. It just finds some way for him to bounce back on the platform. Like, that's what's beautifully designed, exactly like the world's greatest pinball machine.
Well, I don't mean those. Yeah, obviously when he hits the speed, that's a nice little reward. You've cleared a section of the stage. That's always been like a reward in older Sonic. No, what I'm talking about when I don't like his control is when you're standing still, when you're actually in control of him. And you're standing still and you want to run forward and jump. Well, his momentum is just a little bit off to me. It doesn't feel totally intuitive to me. And so if I'm standing at the edge of a platform and there's two like moving platforms that I need to jump to, and I'm paused and I'm like, okay, I've got to jump forward and hit one of those moving platforms so I can get across this little chasm. Like, I'm never sure with Sonic that I'm going to make that jump. I'm just not, because of the way he has to start and stop. And momentum is a part of these games. It always has been because of the speed thing. And you run up a little hill and you'll slide back down. There are more physics in this game than there are in a lot of Mario games. But I've never thought that it's always felt a little wonky to me, and not as tight as a Mario game where I know where Mario is going to land. I don't always know where Sonic's going to land when I jump with him. That's the only, it's a minor nit. Like, this game plays like Sonic. I think it's a perfect love letter to Sonic games. It's definitely better. I think it's better than all the originals. Like, I have no problem saying it's better than the originals just because it looks better. I do think the levels are designed better, even though I still think they're all over the place. Like, there's lots of ways to explore these levels, and that's kind of the point. They're really encouraging you to play these levels, you know, five or six times because there's so many different paths and secrets to uncover. I don't know that I necessarily want to play these levels five or six times. You know, when you hit those speed things, it forces you further ahead, right? So you can't really go back. So say you saw two paths, right? If you choose the one that has the speed thing, well, you're not going back in this playthrough to go see what was up that second path. You're going to have to restart the level again and play the whole thing all over again.
That's not true. Of course you can make it back. I've always been able to make it back.
It'd be very tedious in some cases to do that, because sometimes it sends you clear across a wide, like, you'd be going back a long ways in order to get back. So it's not exactly like encouraging you to explore on one playthrough, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It wants you to play it multiple times. For me, in Sonic games, like, that's never been my thing. I don't necessarily want to explore their levels that thoroughly. Once I've beaten the boss of a stage, I don't necessarily need to go back and get medals or, you know, all the Sonic collectibles that you can get, the diamonds or whatever those things
are called. The Chaos Emeralds. Yeah, if you want to get the true ending, you have to collect all of the Chaos Emeralds. So it does give you an incentive to replay these stages in order to get the true ending. I don't necessarily need a true ending. I'm not boggled down by collecting items. I'm just trying to enjoy the game. What I collect, I collect. What I don't, I don't. I'm just having a ton of fun playing these games. Like, I have collected a few emeralds or unlocked the emeralds. You know, and there's all of these little mini games, which of course we've seen in previous Sonic games in the past, but I I'm just shocked I like this game so much, because in all honesty, I've said many times on the podcast, I'm not a big fan of Sonic the Hedgehog, but this game really brings Sonic back to his classic 2D side-scrolling roots, and at the same time takes inspiration from different games, and just like in terms of like the way it's laid out and the levels and the stages and the colors and the music, it's perfect, like, for this specific type of game, like for a Sonic game. So I'm really, really happy with this game. Thing is, like I said at the start of the podcast, I purposely picked it up on a Nintendo Switch because I just feel like Sonic belongs on Nintendo, but also because I can play it on the go. It's a little more difficult playing it on the go. Tim, you can actually play multiplayer, by the way, so it'd be great for your co-op podcast.
Yeah, that's right. It would be.
That's a selling point right there. And on top of that, there is some fun fan service, including a reference to an internet meme. There's the Ann Knuckles mode. Have you guys unlocked that?
No.
Where you literally are just always followed by Knuckles, but you can still play as Knuckles during that mode. So it can be Knuckles and Knuckles. And to anyone that's been on the internet and seen that, it's a funny nod that they acknowledged. Which is great.
Has that sold you, George? You can be Knuckles and Knuckles.
I'm gonna buy it right now. I want to.
I mean, if I'm being honest, Knuckles has always been my favorite character. So
now let me ask you guys. So I mean, this game is really good. I'm with Rick that like this is sort of nostalgia bath right here, and I like it. It's nostalgia done right. Like, it really is, and it's really fun to play. And there are some really, really fun levels on that. The one he was talking about, Studiopolis, is one of my. I will definitely say it's one of the favorite levels I've played in any game this year. But, all right, so George, like, what's your experience with Sonic? Do you go far back with that game?
Yeah, well, my first console I ever had was when I was really young. I got a Mega Drive or a Genesis in North America, I think. And the first game I had on it was Sonic the Hedgehog 1. So it was one of the first games I ever played. And yeah, I had a really great time with it. And the fact that this new game has gone back to those traditional 2D platforming roots really excites me. Because the other Sonic games I played a lot of the 3D ones. That none of them are as good as the original, really. Sonic Generations was pretty good, but that was mostly because of the 2D elements that was in the game. So I'm really excited that this new game has gone back to that traditional route.
Just to warn you, there are a lot of recycled levels, like Chemical Plant, Stardust Speedway, the Lava Reef. But
yeah, I meant to ask how many levels are new levels compared to Remix?
The new levels?
It's like three or four new levels, I think, and then the rest of them are remixes.
Okay.
Yeah, but those new levels, hot damn, they're so good.
They really are. Those are the best levels. But the other ones have some little twists in them too, so they feel at least fresh enough, I think. And it's not like I was replaying Sonic all the time. So for me, the game has felt fresh consistently all the way through.
Yeah.
So the question has to be asked. This isn't even the only Sonic game that is racing towards gamers. There's another game coming out. But do you guys see the future of Sonic in his retro roots? Or do you see it evolving? Do you think we just need more Sonic Mania games, Sonic Mania 2, 3, and that they should come up with new ideas and continue that way? Or do you think that they should go back and try to figure out how to make a 3D Sonic game? Where do you see the future of the franchise now?
I think they should make a sequel to this game. And I kid you not, I think this game is going to sell over a million copies, not right away, but just on the Nintendo Switch alone. Because once the Nintendo Switch has like about, I don't know, like 50 million like units in people's homes, like people are going to buy this game. Like it's going to be a huge hit on Nintendo consoles. I'm telling you.
I bet it already is a pretty big hit for downloadable games. I would venture to guess this is going to be one of their top ones. I think we're going to be seeing it on the charts for quite a long time. And yeah, I think they definitely have to let these guys cut loose and do their own game, where they're not remixing stuff. Just let these same guys create an entire 2D Sonic game. I played Sonic Forces at E3. It was fine. Again, like it was kind of funky, and it was a big fireworks display. I liked that. But the 3D Sonic games have always been wonky, way wonkier than anything that I've ever said about the 2D games. So I don't see the future there. They need to stick with what Sonic does best, and those 2D games, he has the potential to be a great 2D mascot still.
All right. So there you have it. Sonic might be stuck in a 2D plane for now, but it sounds like he's right at home.
You know, this is going to be a strange comparison, but when they released the new Super Mario Brothers for like the Wii, right? I was never really into that series. Like, It's fine. I've played it. I finished the games. I never really loved it. I never really felt that same feeling, that nostalgic feeling that I had while, you know, making me think about when I used to play the original games on a Super Nintendo or the Nintendo NES. But, like, this game, it's giving me that feeling. Like, it makes me remember going to my friend's house when I was a kid and playing his Genesis and playing Sonic. And, like, that's what I kind of like about it. Like, you know, even with Nintendo, like, with Super Mario, like, yeah, we have Super Mario Maker, which was fantastic and amazing, but they really haven't given us a classic Mario game apart from those, which weren't really the same because, like, the style and graphics and everything was completely different. Like, so, like, I guess I kind of, like, would love Nintendo to release something in the style of those original 8-bit games once again, you know, put it on eShop and sell it for, like, $5. It'd be great. Like,
it really does capture that feeling really well. It's such a fun game to look at too. I there's something to be said for pixel art, and it can be so beautiful, and it just evokes video game more than modern stuff does sometimes to me, even though those look beautiful obviously, but then they're kind of edging closer to, you know, animated movies in many cases. There's nothing that says video game more than like the 16-bit era, and this captures it.
Considering that games are always toting about their cinematic cutscenes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's a really good game. Even the soundtrack, like they remix some of the most popular tracks from like previous Sonic games, but it still has its own new tracks. So it's just like the perfect mix of old and new. And and, you know, I'd like to have a little bit more new, but maybe they just didn't have the budget and or the time to work on it. So hopefully if we get a sequel, it'll be all new levels, because these guys really, they know what they're doing.
Maybe they were just testing the waters, making sure that there's still an audience and that they hadn't all been, I don't know, just completely given up hope on the character. But from the sounds of it, Sonic has never been better. This is Sonic back in racing form. So it sounds like it's something that we should all be picking up on the Switch. And I'm definitely thinking about it way more now that you guys have talked about it.
Well, and the company that ported it to the Switch is the same company that was responsible for The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess on the Wii U, the high-definition remastered remake. So I think they did a really good job. Despite the fact that some people say there's problems, I don't really see the problems. It seems to run on a solid 60 frames per second in 1080p, so...
I've never seen anything. Mine runs perfectly. Yep, it runs great.
All right. Well, I think that does it for our episode. Thank you both for reviewing the game for us. We really appreciate it. And I might have to go pick that up now. I'm actually pretty intrigued because I have history with that hedgehog. So,
Tim, I think you're going to like it a lot. And if you can play multiplayer, I think you're going to love it. I think your wife would have fun playing with you because, like, again, multiplayer.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for our show. George, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Where can we find you online?
Yeah, well, I write features for Goombastomp, and yeah, that's great. And also, you can find me on Twitter at George Cheese, all one word with an extra E on the end.
And definitely go check out his article on why the Switch should not have achievements. We didn't all need to say it, but I think we were all kind of leaning towards your side of the court in the end.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, definitely well thought out, and I think a lot of people just mindlessly ask for things, and I think it's kind of cool that you took the perspective of, hey, why as a company would we try to avoid this? So thank you for trying to get in that mindset and taking that research a little bit further.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you for enjoying it.
Yeah. Patrick Murphy, thank you as always for carrying on the conversation with us. Where can we find you online?
You can, of course, find me writing for Goombastomp, although I did, you can check out my article on Splatoon and Splatoon 2 and why I hate it and Tim is wrong and I am right. No, I don't hate it, and it's not about that, but you can look at that. Other than that, you can always find me writing about movies at Sorted Cinema, our Sorted Cinema section, and which I also edit, and you can find me on Twitter at Sorted Cinema.
Yeah, you can. And Ricky D, thank you for joining us. What is your favorite game of the week?
My favorite game of the week is Sonic Mania, but that might change tomorrow when I start digging into Uncharted Lost Legacy. You can find me on Twitter, Goombastomp Mag. Like us on Facebook, Tumblr, Pinterest, StumbleUpon, Instagram. I don't know. We're
Snapchat.
Everywhere. Yeah, sure. Listen to our movie podcast, Sorted Cinema. On the last episode, I actually talked about a movie called Low Life. You've most likely never heard of it. It's going to be the next big thing. It's going to be the next Pulp Fiction. It's going to be huge. I'm telling you guys, find a way to watch it. Hopefully we'll get a theatrical release soon. But yeah, we talk about a lot of amazing genre films that most of you have most likely have not heard of. That's about it. I'm writing a lot these days. So yeah, Goombastomp.com.
Sweet. You can also find me there at Goombastomp.com. Most recently, I had an article about the Destiny 2 launch trailer. Huge Destiny fan. I don't get to talk about that on this show, but I do get to talk about it on my other show, Game Boys, which is on Goombastomp as well. Go check that out. Or if you want to contact me at the Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter, or even easier, NXpress Nintendo on Twitter as well. Just find me there. I will respond. Trust me. I would love to hear what you guys have to say, especially this week, about Sonic Mania and Sonic in general. How are we feeling about the character? Go ahead and let us know. Thank you, as always, for listening. Again, please, please, please go to, I don't even care where, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you listen, drop us a rating and a review. It goes such a long way, but we are trying to hit at least 50 reviews on iTunes, as that really helps podcasts take off, reach the next level, and, you know, just like Sonic, we've got to go fast. So help us get there. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you guys more next week with more Nintendo.
our office, we would be very happy to have the chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like